League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet.
All right, Carla, you are... As the gloss.
Oh, boy, you're making me nervous. Yeah. I don't like how that started.
Well, you're the icon of fashion and all things fashion sensibilities and good looks and self-care. There will be a quarterback battle in Jacksonville this year. I know. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence, and he's supposed to start. But there will be a battle between Minshew and Lawrence, and that is this. Long hair don't care versus mullet and mustache.
I am no question long hair don't care.
Oh, come on. You love that mullet and mustache.
I do.
When he first took the league by storm, remember Minshew Mania? It was short-lived, but he had his moment.
He had his moment, but it was more about the stash, not what was on his head.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Long hair don't care wins every time, and I am a Trevor Lawrence apologist, fan, Clemson all the way. I'm not even alone. I just love what Dabo has done. I love me some Deshaun Watson. Get out of Houston. And... love me some Trevor Lawrence. So I'm all about the hair on him.
Okay.
Looks good. He can
when
wear it.
When he enters his NFL career, should he trim it down and cut
Heck
it?
No.
Really?
No.
Do you remember any great quarterback with long flowing hair? Hard to come up with.
Oh, but these are different times. And you don't mess with perfection.
Well,
he's had a pretty dang good career at Clemson. You don't go in the NFL and make a massive change like that. Oh, boy, no.
Well, I remember Ron Culver's comment when Justin Herbert, who was having an extraordinary rookie season, and he had long hair, and then he cut it really short. And Culver's concern was like Samson in the Bible. When his hair was cut, he lost all of his powers. But Herbert still played at a high level, even without a lot of hair.
Well, Herbert's mistake for him personally, but obviously it worked for the team, was allowing the strength and conditioning coach to cut his hair. Someone's got to talk to that boy.
Fair enough.
I think he can afford a barber.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Charlie Epps. He's the swing doctor. He's an expert on all things PGA, and we'll talk to him about Tiger Woods and the long road back. That's up next. Charlie Epps here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, we now have a chance to go out to the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. And joining us is Charlie Epps. He's the host of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It airs Saturday mornings, 9 to 10 Eastern, here on the Sports Map Radio Network. It's sponsored by Insperity. Charlie, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Well, good morning, and David, nice to talk with you.
Yeah, usually I see you roaming the halls. It's great to have you on air. And
that's
obviously, let's begin with the big news this week, the sad news of Tiger Woods' accident. What was your reaction? And also, what was the reaction of the golf community? The golfing community really seemed to rally around the person and support him. But I'd love to get your perspective on what happened this week.
Well, Tiger Woods has transformed himself into an icon worldwide. And it's all because of his winning but now in the later years, his personality has come out. He's fought back from embarrassing situations. He's fought back from injuries, five back operations. And so the public has taken a different look at this great champion. And if you recall, when he won the Players' Championship and the crowd loose behind him walking down the 18th hole there in Atlanta, it was a scene that we'd never seen in golf before. And it was everybody that just wants to touch the guy, to be involved. He's such a champion that people love him now. And all the kids, a lot of the guys that are playing are because of Tiger now, that the generations have been gone so long that he has the attention of everybody. The gentleman that won the last tournament in L.A. and Homa gave Tiger Woods him the trophy, and it's just an incredible scene. And whether it's Michael Jordan or, you know, Muhammad Ali, it's Tiger. He's incredible.
We're talking to Charlie Epps, host of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network. Okay, he's had back surgeries, ACL issue, and now the injuries from this accident. What are the possibilities of Tiger returning to form?
Well, if you look at Alex Smith.
Yeah, great example.
The great comeback that he did. Because of that leg and infection and there's been, you know, Ben Hogan came back from a horrific accident. You can never underestimate Tiger. I mean, Rudy Tomjanovich, when the Rockets won the championship of the NBA, he was quoted saying, you can never doubt the heart of a champion. And Tiger Woods he's gone through everything. You know, the ups and downs of winning and losing and family issues. So, you know, I can't say that he can't come back. He could do it.
Well, and Charlie, you bring up a good point with Ben Hogan's accident in 1949, where he basically sacrificed his own health to save his wife. And he was age 36. He came back to win six more majors and 13 PGA titles. So, let's hope. You're right. Tiger is a winner, and he's a overcomer, and hopefully that will be the case here, which would be great. Let me ask you, Charlie, switching gears a little bit about Jordan Spieth. You know, he went from the top of the golf world, you know, early on in his career, and seems to never have fully recovered from that Masters collapse. Do you think he's going to get back to his form at the beginning of his career? Do you think he looks like he's playing a lot better lately? He's been in contention. Do you see this happening, and do you see it happening anytime soon?
Well, what he did early on in his career, those 5 years, to win three majors before the age of 23 or whatever, will probably never be duplicated again. And he had a magic run that was incredible. Just like in all sports, you know, whether it's baseball or, you know, you lose that touch. And, you know, the sun shines on you for so long. And that run that he had was just an incredible feat. I don't think that will ever happen again. I think Tiger will always be an issue in golf. Can he win another major? Sure he can. Can he dominate the number one in the world? You know, I'm not sure. I mean, because life as it goes on, and you track athletes' careers, and they go through the selfishness of being an athlete. It's all about you, and then you become a husband and a father and a businessman. The life gets so much more complicated. So that might be longer answer than you wanted, but
no, I love it.
You know, he's fighting like a champion that he is, and he's got things in perspective. I got to know him as a young boy at 12 years old, and I'm around a lot of talented kids. But, you know, Jordan was just one of these special kids that she thinks in an adult way when he's 12 years old. And his family is so, family unit is so, so great. His mom and dad, you know, he's not named Jordan for a reason. You know, he's named after Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And is that way. And they have a daughter with special needs. And that keeps him grounded. And it keeps, you know, life is so, so difficult. Complicated, and but I think Jordan will win another major.
I hope so. He's exciting to watch, and people love to root for him. Speaking of rooting for people, what do you think about the rumors that Phil Mickelson might get hired by CBS to be a golf commentator in the booth? Do you think he'd be good?
Oh, he is. You know, he has a way of talking. He's not afraid to say some things.
Right.
He's going to say a few things that aren't politically correct. But I can't believe that they can corral him in a studio to sit there and talk golf. He still has so much golf ahead of him. He still wants to play. He still wants to travel. You know, when you become a commentator, to me, it's, okay, I don't want to play any more golf, like a Nick Faldo. But I think Phil is still full of a lot of great golf, and so he'd be great at it. But I'm not sure he will do it.
We're talking to Charlie Epps. He's the host of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Saturday mornings you can hear from 9 to 10 Eastern. Charlie, one last question: Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods, the GOAT? I mean, when Tiger was in the hospital, there were all these tweets coming out that Tiger was the GOAT. But I know you've seen over your career a broad swath of great golf. Who's your pick? Got you on that one, didn't I? Yes.
You know, if you take golfers, they have about a 10-year shelf life. And Jack has been at it, you know, he's 83 and still out there playing. During his time at number one, he did incredible things. His record is second to none. Tiger's is not quite as good as Jack's. But there's always, you know, who is the best pitcher in baseball? Who is, you know, it's hard to compare. They're all great greats. And, you know, right now the public that have lived the Tiger life, he's number one. And, you know, and I got to say he's number one, but so was Nicklaus. So was Hogan. You know, Hogan's record was incredible. That's a good question, sitting and having a drink at a bar.
Yes, we'll have to do that sometime. But we think you're number one, Charlie, and everyone, you can catch him Saturday mornings, 9 to 10 Eastern on the Sports Map Radio Network. Charlie, thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Oh, thank you all, and appreciate you talking golf.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the winter ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, the Deshaun Watson saga in Houston has continued to take a negative turn. Really, there's not a whole lot of new news until he sat down with David Culley, the new head coach of the Texans.
And, last Friday, a week ago.
And we now realize that meeting happened. And first, I'm glad that there has been a conversation, because apparently for weeks. There was a break. There was no communication one way or the other. Finally, the two
with
parties.
Cully or Caserio.
Right. So finally, Watson and Cully sit down. And by all accounts, David Cully is a prince of a guy, widely beloved across the league, not likely to offend. But in that meeting, Deshaun Watson made it clear he does not want to play for the Houston Texans, even if David Cully is the head coach. There's just too much history, too much breakage that's already happened that predates David Cully.
Yes, and that's exactly the thing. I mean, Deshaun Watson went into that meeting. I appreciate him, just like you said, having that meeting, and he made it clear. Number one, I still want to be traded. Number two, I have no intention of ever putting on a Texans uniform again.
And see, I think it's easier for him to tell David Cully that because he doesn't have a relationship with David Cully. It's hard to sever, break with someone with whom you've shared a lot of experiences. But he can walk into David Cully and say, hey, I've heard great things about you. I'm sure you're a fine individual. And I bet you I would love to play for you. But, Coach Cully, there's too much history here. It's not you. It's that organization. It's those other people. It's the people who hired you. It's ownership. It's Jack Easterby. I need to move on. And I think that's what the nature of the conversation was when they finally sat down.
Well, you said the key word here, which is relationship. Because earlier we were talking about Russell Wilson and all that's going on in Seattle and saying, you know, the relationship between he and the Seahawks could definitely be repaired. And do you know why? Because there was a relationship to begin with.
Right.
There is no relationship here. This is not an indictment on Nick Caserio or David Cully.
They inherited a big problem.
Exactly. Because the fallout that happened with Deshaun Watson and the Texans was via Cal McNair and Easterby.
Did you say egg?
Sorry. here in Houston, that fallout happened because of lies and manipulation and disloyalty and distrust long before Caserio and Cully got here. And, you know, it's finding out that your number one receiver was traded over Twitter. That was prompted by Easterby through Bill O'Brien. You know, then you find out, you're told by your owner that, yes, I'm going to take you to dinner, Deshaun. Cal says, what do you need? What makes you happy? He said, I would love to just have some input. I know you're going to make the decisions. You're the front office. You're the owner. But I'd just love to have some input. Great. No problem. We're going to give you input, Deshaun, on both the coach and the general manager. He had no input on either. Found out over Twitter. It's been done. The fallout happened before these two guys were hired.
Okay. The amazing thing, of course, is at least up until now, the Texans have not taken calls, at least by many reports.
That's what they say.
That if the Dolphins are calling, if the Broncos are calling, whispers are the 49ers have called, that the Texans have said, no, we're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. But, of course, everybody recognizes that if, in fact, Watson's not going to play for the Texans this fall, the time to make the trade is before the draft so they can get loaded up with draft capital and get some new, fresh players onto this team.
I think you just highlighted that the Texans are being very Texansy and saying, at least they're saying, we're not trading him. We're not listening to any offers. Well, this is what I would say. Hey, front office over there on Kirby Drive, put your big boy pants on and realize this guy, if you want to see a standoff, you're going to see it. He will sit out the season if that's what you do. It is time to move to Plan B, Nick and Cal and Jack. It's time to move to Plan B because you've got 2 months until the draft. You don't have a pick until the third round because you've given everything away for the little that you got in return, or you just didn't trade well. That's basically it. This is a time to restock the coffers now and get pieces so that whoever you bring in has got weapons around him because you can't succeed with this depleted roster that they have. And anybody who was anybody, J.J. Watt was released a few weeks ago, and we broke that news here. Deshaun Watson will not play again. I don't think they're going to franchise Will Fuller. He'll go in the free agent market possibly, and he'll be happy to get the heck out of there. They're not going to be able to attract talent, so you better get it in the draft and start building a team that people want to play for. And they right now, they're very insignificant, and there's no way starting in the third round you're going to improve your team from a 4-12 team dramatically. So they need to move now. If they sit here and be an idiot, they could be big, big, big-time players in the draft if they get smart now.
Well, they can make a market because there certainly are teams. Now, Deshaun has a no-trade clause. So,
as does Russell Wilson.
He has an influence, at least, on where he lands. Where do you think Watson fits in best? What team matches up? If you had to look ahead, what two or three teams do you think are the most likely destination for Deshaun Watson?
Well, it's one that's not really even being talked about, which is the San Francisco 49ers, because they are a win-now-ready Super Bowl team with a very, very seasoned, experienced, excellent head coach in Kyle Shanahan, who knows how to develop quarterbacks.
Yeah, Peter King had an interesting, I think it was a 7-for-1 deal that he was suggesting could land Deshaun Watson in San Francisco. And part of that trade was Jimmy G coming to the Texans.
And I think that's a great fit.
And the Texans then would rebuild with all the other capital or assets they would get.
Because, look, we've got Patriots South here in Houston. Jimmy G knows Nick Caserio. He knows Jack Easterby. And they know him. That's kind of a perfect fit.
Yeah, that's interesting, of course. Right? Caserio was there in New England when they had Jimmy G.
And so was Easter Egg.
And when they made that decision to trade him. So that's interesting. I mean, New England, let's talk. I mean, the Patriots would love to get Jimmy G back. I mean, at this point, they are bereft of a quarterback. Cam Newton might come back, but they cannot count on Cam Newton to take them to the playoffs.
No, they need another quarterback. If Cam Newton comes back, that's not enough to count.
It's not enough. And
although they don't have enough, let's also be fair about that. I mean, when you the bummer that you have with all the success that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have been able to amass in New England means that you're number 32 every year when you're picking. So you're really, as your talent ages out or goes other places, like they've especially seen this year with so many leaving, and Julian Edelman being very injury prone at his age, you're not really able to replace. They have not drafted well, and I put that on Nick Caserio. They have not drafted well in New England. And when you're the last pick in the first round for the last 10 years, it's really hard to build in the draft.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry, their number one draft pick, wide receiver, really has been a disappointment. I mean, they need more talent at the wide receiver position. They did invest, but they didn't get the yield from him. The jury may still be out. He may still put it all together. At best, though, I think he projects at this point, at best, as a number two receiver. They don't have an elite number one. They don't have tight ends. And so Cam Newton was hamstrung by a lack of a supporting cast. The Patriots do have, though, a ton of salary cap space. And I think they're going to be more active in the free agency market than we've ever seen the Patriots in their history.
Well, they need it. And clearly, if we see it, you know Bill Belichick sees it.
Sure, they'll go out. I mean, and there will be receivers to be had on the free agent market. I think they can upgrade the talent, and they do have players who opted out, like Hightower, the great linebacker, to come and fortify that defense.
Sure, and you're right. There was a lot that opted out. Will Fuller in New England is nice.
Well, he is. But, I mean, really, the Patriots aren't going anywhere until they get a quarterback. In Boston, I've just been reading how they are daydreaming that somehow Jimmy G will find his way back, that the 49ers will go and get a different answer at quarterback. 49ers who have been lukewarm on Jimmy G, maybe due to his injury history more than anything else, but lukewarm on Jimmy G, would go and find an alternative. Deshaun would be the biggest headline, obviously, if the 49ers could land Deshaun. But when you look at all the mock drafts that are out there, there are a lot of scenarios where the 49ers are trading up to try to get one of the rookie quarterbacks. It's just that, as you pointed, the 49ers are built to win now and to sign
a
rookie.
That doesn't last for years.
No.
It really doesn't.
And you, if you go get a rookie who is on a four-year deal with an option for five, and it takes 2 years to develop them, you'll lose a lot of the other pieces that you've got. The timelines don't match up with a rookie. They really need somebody more mature.
And I'm sure Shanahan knows that.
Yeah, it's a limited pool of guys out there, because that's why I think Jimmy G is the quarterback of the 49ers, barring a Deshaun Watson trade or something miraculous of that nature.
Well, you know, maybe we'll give the Texans some credit here. Maybe they're saying, we're not trading him so that the leverage goes up even more. Like, they get more value for Deshaun Watson because, you know, the rarer something is, and then all of a sudden at the last minute they may say, all right, we're open. And then it's, you know, the week before the draft and all these, you know, they're throwing 8 picks at him. You know, who knows what's going to happen? I'm giving the Texans credit there. Don't know why.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at Hard Knocks, the series that everybody enjoys. And they're down to probably two or three teams to be featured on Hard Knocks this year. We'll look at who the candidates are when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And when we went to break, we were speculating on Hard Knocks, of course, the great look inside training camp. Well, the Hard Knocks followed your Raiders, 2 years ago?
During the Antonio Brown disaster.
Yeah, and I don't think missed a single episode.
I did not, and that was a sexy Hard Knocks. I'm telling you what, that would pull people in, and you can see why NFL teams don't like to be featured.
Well, they do have sort of a structure on what teams qualify or what teams are required or cannot say no. It is sort of interesting right now. The two favorites seem to be the Cowboys, who have no ability to say no, but really are a team that love publicity. I can't see Jerry Jones turning down that opportunity to be on camera.
Oh, my gosh, so, no.
And then the Jaguars are an interesting team because, of course, they're going to be fun to watch this year. I mean, Urban Meyer comes in, new head coach. They're going to have Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall draft pick. That's a team that would be fun to get a peek inside via Hard Knocks.
I think that could be very controversial, which is the reason I think they may not pick them, not because of Urban Meyer, because that is going to be fascinating to see Urban Meyer. I'd love to get a look at how he handles the NFL. But, you know, remember a few weeks ago, he, as in true form, he's done it at Florida, he's done it at Utah, he's done it at Ohio State. Everywhere he's been, he's made a controversial hire. And sure enough, he did it again in the NFL by hiring Chris Doyle from Iowa, who had to cut ties with the university after allegations of racist remarks and bullying minorities. He's now the director of sports performance for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you tell me how a guy that comes in for bullying, for racial issues, is going to stand in a locker room, an NFL locker room, and say, I'm your guy. And Urban Meyer says, this was quote after the Doyle hire, I want to be very transparent with my players. I'm giving my players the very best of the best. They need to trust their coach.
Well, breaking news. He fixed that mistake.
He did?
He's gone, yes.
Yes!
So,
okay.
But an embarrassing choice, a bad choice, and really did not look right. And I'm...
Oh, my gosh, the fact he even did that.
I guess he can get away in college with some things. You just aren't going to get away with a bigger stage on the NFL.
How did that go down? Ooh, enlighten me.
Well, he was just sort of dismissed quietly, and nobody really wanted to talk about it.
Well, that was Jaguars PR saying, dude, are you kidding me? Get woke, Urban. You've got.
I think there was also pressure from the NFL, other teams, and the organization. That guy did not deserve to be in an NFL locker room. So
then bring in Jacksonville. I want to see it.
Well, so Hard Knocks, maybe Jacksonville. The thing about the Cowboys, of course, is, well, they've got a large following. They're America's team and all that history. Or people hate them one way or the other. You love them or hate them, right? They're a stratified team by the fan base. But that would beget lots of viewers for Hard Knocks. As a long-standing, now maybe long-suffering Cowboys fan,
I was going to ask, how do you feel?
I really don't like it for the Cowboys because, well, there's this phenomenon with the Cowboys, and Jimmy Johnson talked about it recently. Rich Gosselin's talked about it. Rich Gosselin always frames it this way, that once the star goes on the helmet, the player's perspective, the perspective of the player seems to get elevated, maybe more than he deserves. Or Jimmy Johnson says, oh, those Cowboys players seem to think they've won a Super Bowl because they're on the Dallas Cowboys. And then Jimmy Johnson went through that whole iteration that if he were to come in and coach the Cowboys now, he would run them, work them, beat them up. Not literally, of course, but beat them. And really,
he's a tough coach.
Be a tough coach to try to beat out of them this notion that they're somehow entitled to success or that they are just a success or they've already arrived because they are America's team. Give them more spotlight with Hard Knocks, and I think it just throws fuel onto that fire, that's the destructive fire that is the culture of the Cowboys. And so, no, as a fan of the Cowboys, I would not like Hard Knocks peeking into that locker room.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You bring up Jimmy Johnson, who is obviously an incredibly successful coach in Dallas. And there hasn't been a coach like him since that. And, you know, the difference is Jimmy Johnson is such a strong personality and such an outstanding coach that Jerry got smaller because Jimmy got bigger. And I think Jerry said, no, I'm going to bring in coaches where I'm bigger and they get smaller, where I can do more of a puppeteering.
Well, Jerry enjoys being in front of the microphone, being the voice of the Cowboys, being the guy they go to for the big quote. And Jason Garrett obviously was willing to subordinate his position. Mike McCarthy, too. Those guys have the opportunity to be the head coach, and maybe they're relieved not to have to deal with the media, but they don't deal with the media the way Jerry loves to be front and center. There are a couple other NFL topics I'd love to ask you about. J.J. Watt, the longstanding, successful defensive player for the Texans.
Three-time defensive player of the year.
Amazing. And a future Hall of Famer. Okay, he's now a free agent. Where do you think he lands?
I hope for him that he lands in Green Bay.
Yeah.
I think that would be just how great for him to be able to go home
yep.
and play in front of his – I mean, he's beloved everywhere. But to play in front of his family, his home, you know, his home state. I think – and the Packers could use him.
Right.
That would be an outstanding place for him to go.
Yep.
I think the cool place would be the Pittsburgh Steelers to be able to play with his brothers, but I don't think that's on the tables. I think – on the table right now. It looks like he's got multiple offers, obviously, and I'm not sure what the guaranteed money is on any of them, but it looks like the best offer is like $15-16 million for a one-year deal somewhere, which is pretty good payday.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely take that. But I think it's Buffalo that's looking at him. Tennessee, I could see Tennessee as a great fit because, you know, Vrabel coached him for years here in Houston. They have a great relationship, and he knows what he's got with Watt. He's not one bit nervous about his age, his injury history, or anything else.
Now, all those are teams that are built to win now. They've got great pieces on the team right now. You add Watt in there, and maybe that's a tipping point. Fun to watch where he lands.
Where do you see him land? You know, where do you want him to land?
I like the Titans for him.
And it would be such a diss to the Texans. They'd be facing him
right in there, right in the division. You bet.
AFC South.
I saw the reports that the Browns are coming after him hard. That's intriguing.
Oh, right.
The thing that I think he offers to the Browns is team leadership. JJ is a force in that locker room, and there have been lack of maturity issues on the Cleveland Browns, obviously at the quarterback position with Baker needing to grow up. And I just think JJ could be a really great maturing force for a team that has lots of talent, but has some problems, has lacked direction and leadership.
Point.
So JJ would be a really nice addition to that Browns team. And look, he'd be on the same defensive line as Myles Garrett, who may be the best in the league.
And when he sees Myles taking a helmet to bash someone, he can actually grab it from behind.
See, this
you're right.
Is the
veteran
force.
Leadership is mm-hmm. key for that Cleveland team. It's not a lack of talent. Because when we were talking about Cleveland earlier, I thought, they're pretty talented on the defensive side. But you are right. The leadership situation, having a field general, someone who can control these young, you know, tempers and things like that would be great.
So I think Cleveland's figured that out. That's, I think, why they're coming after him hard.
Yeah,
I mean, he's older than most of that core, so it's not a perfect alignment age-wise and talent and growing up together, but he would be a great force.
Because Cleveland lost 2 years ago. Who was the stalwart of their defense? It was like Andrews something. The name is escaping me. He retired, and he's, you know, now somewhere in the booth. And it was such a loss because he had spent his entire career in Cleveland, and he was the veteran that they're missing.
Yep.
Wow, I love that point.
Come All right,
me, boss.
JJ to Cleveland.
Nice.
We've done it.
All right, I'll take that.
All right, let's go back to the quarterback situation with the Raiders. They've got two young quarterbacks, both who have played well at different points in time. Mariota has really
two starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, Mariota has been beset by injuries, but played well when healthy, at least last year with the Raiders. Do you think they keep them both? I'll tell you this. SportingBets.com, a gambling website, set the odds for the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots next year. The highest probability went to Marcus Mariota, that somehow the Patriots would convince John Gruden to send Mariota to New England. But right now, the Raiders are sitting pretty with two young, talented quarterbacks.
The Raiders really are sitting pretty. I mean, you think Derek Carr is 29 years old. He's putting up amazing numbers. And last year really hit his stride with John Gruden because, you know, he runs a very complicated offense. And it's, you know, Derek Carr had to learn that. And he did, you know, did well his first year, really did great last year, has a great relationship with Darren Waller, all of his receivers. Henry Ruggs hopefully will get more touches. They've got a young team and Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Abrams. And I mean, Derek Carr's in a great spot. And I think he's really coming along great. Then you've got Marcus Mariota, who is also a starting quarterback at 27 years old. And, you know, you mentioned his injury history. I mean, availability is an issue. But the other thing is that he went through five different coaches and OCs while he was, you know, in with his former team. And that affects you. How can you get a rhythm? You know, it's taken Derek Carr 2 years to fully develop that, to fully absorb that playbook and be able to put it into action successfully. I mean, it's got to be the same for Mariota. And when there's a new guy in charge every year and you've sat out significant time, it's hard. So I think if they have the luxury of keeping them both, you've got the best situation in the NFL. Most people, you've got a starter and you drop off significantly with a backup. They have two starters. And then you've got Russell Wilson, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, saying, I'd love to play for Las Vegas. I mean, they are looking good. So I think if they, it's a chess match, as you know. I mean, if Russell Wilson moves or if Jimmy G goes to New England, then maybe New England doesn't go after Mariota as hard, this kind of thing. I think it's all a chess match, but I think that the Raiders are really sitting in an enviable position at their guy under center. I'd keep them both if I can.
Well, and it would be a luxury. That ugly reality of the salary cap comes in. It's hard to keep two quarterbacks. Very hard to keep two quarterbacks on a team, particularly with a lower salary cap. It looks like it'll be around $180 million this year. So that is a luxury. It might be hard to afford. I will say, all these offseason things have unfolded, I'm amazed how quickly every consideration, every question, every player decision, money, 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 salary cap. You can't get around it. No. It wasn't always this way. And it's sort of too bad to me when I look at the NFL that salary cap management is such a foundational issue for every player decision. Imagine just for a minute, if there were no salary cap, well, the Raiders would just keep both. And would ownership pay for both? Sure. They wouldn't be capped. They would. They'd be happy to carry those players. It would be a very different league. You could stockpile talent at a position much longer. You could almost build succession plans. But we're living in a world right now in the NFL where you realize that you can only have guys for certain windows of time before they demand too much money and balancing your whole team becomes a necessity. And there will be players cut this offseason, not because of performance, but because their salary cap hit is too high to conform to this year's season.
Ben Roethlisberger, you're talking about that right now. That's a $41 million cap hit.
Right.
I mean, that, and then they're in talks right now.
Yes. So there's a case. That one doesn't bother me as much because
he's at the sunset of his career.
Well, he is overpaid. I mean, he's not worth $41 million,
no,
right?
That's right.
So he should be reset. But there are other guys who, if you're a fan of a team, you love your guys, you want them on the team, but the team has to cut him because of a salary cap issue. If the Cowboys cut Jalen Smith because he's too much money for the salary cap, that would be too bad. As a Cowboys fan, I would regret the fact that they let go of Jalen Smith, who's been a great guy in the locker room. Has he played to the level of his contract? No. Would Jerry Jones just bite that bullet happily? Yes. But the salary cap forces Jones, or might force Jones, to consider cutting Jalen Smith. And yet Jones would be happy to pay that money. Now, there's a whole long story why the salary cap is here, and it involves the collective bargaining agreement and such. But it is just a factor in every decision. If you own the Raiders, if you were Mark Davis, you'd keep both those guys. It'd be great to have Carr and Mariota. And you would just pay the salary. You wouldn't worry about it. But if you've got $100 million, $180 million cap this year, which it looks like it will be, you may not be able to keep Mariota at his salary because you need to hold on to some other supporting cast members to support Derek Carr.
You know, the good thing for Las Vegas is that they do have a lot of young players. They've gotten a lot of their talent in the draft, and that is much less expensive
talent you gotta do it that way.
Than veterans. And I thought they overpaid for Mariota, giving him $7.5 million when he came.
Right.
But that's looking like really the deal of the century.
But he's an expensive backup.
He's an expensive backup.
And that's why they may not be able to hold him.
But. He's an expensive backup, disguised backup that's really a starter.
Well, and for somebody, he will be a starter. So.
Right. Agreed.
All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. I just do want to ask you before we leave, when we come back, I'll ask you about the Washington football team. It looks like they will not have a mascot name next year. They'll still be the WFT. We'll look at what they should
be
when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, man. We have covered a lot of ground in a very short period of time. But one hanging topic that has not been resolved in a very short period of time is the name of the Washington football team. They've just announced they're going to go as the WFT one more season before they come up with a replacement for their old name. They have just opened up a website. They're inviting fans to submit names. So we get to go in and sign on. We can come up with and make suggestions for the WFT. But right now, it's amazing.
It's better that it's not the WTFs because they could be.
that may be really who they are at this moment in time.
With the stuff that's been going on in Washington, it could be. We need Ron Rivera to right this ship right now.
Well, amazingly, they only recently opened up the website to allow fans to submit names. And three of the names that came out and were sort of featured included the Washington Rhinos. The Washington Justice.
Kind of cool.
And the Washington Red Tails. So there you have it.
Bread out of it.
There's a lot of work to be done there. Let's go with WTF.
Okay. In. I'm done.
Thanks so much for joining us. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.